guys got caught up already. We just got caught up now. We had a double parsha. That's a cement. Is that a cement?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, what a call. What a call. Very good, very good. Regards to the mishpacha. So in the past week's parshas and parshas matas, again in parshas masay, the Torah is repeatedly talking about Eiver HaYarden. Eiver HaYarden is like quasi Eretz Yisrael. It's like not exactly clear whether it's Eretz Yisrael or it's not Eretz Yisrael. It's not technically in the borders of Eretz Yisrael. If you go through the Gvulim and the boundaries in this past week's parasha, Parshas Maaseh, Eiver HaYarden seems to be out. But if as you go through Shas, it's really, really not clear whether or not legabe certain mitzvahs Eiver HaYarden is in or is Eiver HaYarden out. The major machlokes Rishonim, the Ran and Rashi and the Dorim, whether or not you could bring the Korban HaOmer from Eiver HaYarden. It's got this like quasi, it's half in, half out. And it really makes a lot of sense because that's really the story. Eiver HaYarden wasn't really, it sounds like from Baruti Parshas Matos, Maaseh, and now to this week's Parsha, Parshas Dvarim, Eiver HaYarden wasn't originally in the blueprints of the plan of being part of Eretz Yisrael. So what happened? Does anyone remember what happened? How did Eiver HaYarden get included? Does anyone remember? Yeah, what happened?
Two and a half Shvatim asked to settle
in Eiver HaYarden. Who did they ask?
Moshe
Rabbeinu. And where was that? That was in the back, this past week's Parsha for me. But for you, it was 2 weeks ago. In the end of Parshas Matos. Does everyone agree? What's your name?
Elon.
Excellent, Elon. Elon what?
Aegis.
From where?
Manhattan.
What school do you go to?
Ramaz.
Very nice. Beautiful. So, Rabbi Sklarin, who's Shirun?
Next year I'll be in Rabbi Stochel.
You have Rabbi Shaiwitz or Rabbi Sklarin?
Rabbi Shaiwitz in 12th grade.
Oh, and what, you're going into 11th?
Yeah.
Beautiful. So I don't agree with Aegis completely. I like what he said, but there's a problem that I have with what he said. What do I have a problem with what he said? Did 2.5 Shvatim ask for Eiver HaYarden?
No, there are 12.
What do you want to say? Only two did. Which two?
Gad and Reuven.
So what's this business with Gad, Reuven? It's always like group. Gad, Reuven, and what? Tzad Shishay Menashe. Where'd that come from? Yeah.
I heard an idea by Rebbe, I think it's the Ramban, but he said that Menashe was like Torah leaders at the time. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was splitting up people, he didn't want them to be like away from the Torah, so he kept half of Menashe there.
What's your name?
Mordechai
what?
Shmerler.
Shmerler from where?
Shmerler from the Five Towns.
From the Five Towns, what school?
Ramban.
Very nice. Yeah. Who's your Rebbe?
Rabbi Har and Rabbi Ziskin.
Rabbi Har from Misora, back in the day. Sports staff. Chevra, he's 100% right. I don't know that it's the Ramban. I think maybe he quoted from the Netziv. And this is introduced in this week's Parsha. There's like this whole Mahalach of Matos, Maasei, Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, Eiver HaYarden being part of Eretz Yisrael, and then suddenly in Parsha's Dvarim, there's this new group, this new Chevra. It's not just Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven anymore. Now it's Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, and Chatzis Sheva Menashe. Look in the Netziv in Parsha's Dvarim, in our Parsha. Netziv says something incredible. Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah, the deal's done. We locked in. Matos, Maaseh. We gave it to them. Eiver HaYarden. It worked out. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, there's a big problem. They're not going to survive. Why are they not going to survive? There's water. There's food. There's cattle. There's the great economy. Rabbeisai. The whole purpose, Rashi tells us, was that there was going to be geshmaka cattle there, geshmaka livestock, geshmaka real estate. These guys were going to be the entrepreneurs. These guys were going to be the CEOs of the companies of Am Yisrael. They're going to be the gvirin. So what's the problem? Moshe Rabbeinu says they're not going to survive. Says the Netziv, why they're not going to survive? Because if they're not in Eretz Yisrael, and they're not, as we say in the yeshivas, orangutan learning, they're not in Etzis Waikolo. They're not learning. They're not with the Chevra. They're not hacking in the fourth parak of Brochus. They're not hearing the hack in the Beis Medrash. They're going to be out in the Gullus. They're going to be in a few months down the road, and it's just, you don't know where you're coming, where you're going. Your core is not in Kolel. Says the Netziv, Moshe Rabbeinu said, their chiyus is talibzeh. They're not going to survive. Without Torah, you can't survive. That's what the Netziv says in this week's parsha. That's how Chatzi Shevet Menashe got it. Says the Netziv, Chatzi Shevet Menashe was not interested in being an Eiver Ayaret. They were annoyed. They were like, "What's the? This is not Eretz Yisrael. This is not the. This is not the real Makor. I want Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I want Parshas Maaseh. I want to be in the boundaries. I don't want any Sveikas. I don't want any Machloikas Rashi and the Ran. Whether you're going to bring the Karbon Oimer from there. I want real, legit, solid Eretz Yisrael. Hardcore Eretz Yisrael." And Moshe Rabbeinu says, "No, do me a favor." Says the Netziv, he convinced them by giving them the largest piece of land in Eiver HaYarden. Why? Because Chatzi Shevet Menashe, says the Netziv, will be the Rabban, will be the Beis Medrash, will be the Makom Torah, will be the anchor that no matter where they're going to be, they're going to survive now. Because they have Chatzi Shevet Menashe. That's what changed from the past 2 weeks, Matas Maseh, or the past week for me, and this week's parsha, Parsha's Dvarim, that suddenly there's a new shevet of Menashe. Rabbi Yisai, I once heard from the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood, a gevaldik gemar mokum that connects to this Netziv. So this Netziv years ago, but he had a Tosefis that was mamish gevaldik. Yerushalmi in Bikurim as a sofik. Yushalmi says, can you bring Bikurim from Eiver HaYarden? Again, like one of these questions. Is Eiver HaYarden in Eretz Yisrael? Is it not? Like, same hak. We don't know. Is it real? Is it not? It's this whole confusion at the last few parshiyos of the Torah. Is Eiver HaYarden in or is not? Is it quasi? It's what? Says the Yushalmi, well, maybe it's not classic Eretz Yisrael. It's not in the borders that were set in Parshas Maaseh. And then the Yerushalmi says, well, maybe the reason that you can't bring from Eiver HaYarden is because this is an Eretz Yisrael. It is Eretz Yisrael, but it was an Eretz Yisrael that wasn't gifted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather it emanated, it became part of Eretz Yisrael from who? From the people. From the request of the Am. You hear the two tzadim? One is it in, is it out? Is it classic Eretz Yisrael or not? Or is it only not part of Eretz Yisrael for Bikurim because of what? What's the problem with Eiver HaYarden? That they caused it, but it wasn't gifted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Zok Yerushalmi l'may nafkamine. What's the practical implication? Who cares why it's not Eretz Yisrael? L'maisi, you can't bring Bikurim from it. Either it's not in the borders, or it's because they requested it. Who cares what the reason is? Says the Yerushalmi, I'll tell you the nafkamine. Listen to this Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says nafkamine is for Chatzi Shevet Menashe. What's pshat? Chatzi Shevet Menashe didn't request it. Chatzi Shevet Menashe in Parshas Dvarim, the Netziv says, they did a favor for Moshe Rabbeinu. They were the Rebbeim. Ah, Zokter B'Yeruchim, Agvali Gavur, based on this Netziv. That's pshat in the Yerushalmi. Chatzi Shevet Menashe weren't the same as God and Reuven. Memeila Zokter B'Yeruchim, exactly like the Netziv says, that what? That according to one side of Yerushalmi, Menashe could bring what? Could bring Bikurim from Eiver HaYarden if it's all a function of what? Of whether or not they created it, because they didn't create it. For them, it's really Eretz Yisrael. Mamash HaSofik in Yerushalmi, based on a vart of the Netziv, of understanding how suddenly through the back door, Parshas Dvarim, we have a new Shevet, Chatzi Shevet Menashe, that's living in Eiver HaYarden in this ambiguous area called Quasi Eretz Yisrael. But Rabbi Yisai, I'd like to talk to you about an idea that I had from this whole Parsha of Menashe and God requesting the land from Eretz Yisrael. Now it's a little hard, you don't have Chumash, I'm sorry. I would have been a little earlier, I would have told you to all get chumashim because it's a little easier to follow. But I'll try to be clear. We got a little lost on the way. We got Baruch Hashem. Ways works everywhere, but got a little scary. So when you look at the end of Parshas Matos, about this conversation, like you said correctly, that Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven approached Moshe Rabbeinu, with an idea. Umikne Rav Hoyel Bnei Reuven Bnei Gad Otzemoid. And they saw this beautiful land for all of their cattle, and they said, "This is a tremendous investment. Let's inhabit. Let's take up this opportunity, and let's live in Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven." So they approached Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says, and they explain the whole spiel. This is a tremendous opportunity for us, and Moshe Rabbeinu is very upset. Vayomer Moshe l'Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, ha'acheichem yavo l'molchama va'atem teishvu po. Your brothers are going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and what? You're going to sit here? So, Moshe Rabbeinu is like, hold off. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu pasuk zayin, perek lamed beis pasuk zayin, starts a whole Musar Shmus. Mamish gives it to them. He gives it to them. Pasuk zayin, lamed sinu es leben Yisrael mi'avor Eretz. Why are you not going to go? You know what this represents, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Ko asu avisechem. This is what your parents did in Parsha Shlach with the Chet HaMeraglim. You gave up on Eretz Yisrael. You're following their footsteps. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu got upset. Fine. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a whole Musar Shmus. I'm skipping a bunch of Pesukim, Rabbi Yisai, and you'll see why in a second. So they get the picture. So now they approach them again. Listen carefully, everybody said. Listen carefully. So they said, "You're right, Moshe Rabbeinu. You're right. Give us this land, and what? We're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to fight. We're not going to just stay here and not be part of one of the guys and one of the chayalim. We're going to be one of the chayalim. So is that okay?" Says Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. So Moshe Rabbeinu says what? Vayomer aleihem Moshe im tasun es hadavar hazeh. Listen carefully. This has halachic ramifications. Vayomer aleihem Moshe im tasun es hadavar hazeh. Im techoltzu lefnei Hashem lamilchamo. Va'over lachem kol chalutz es hayardin lefnei Hashem adarishu es oivav nipono. If you go across and then you fight, so then, I'll be masking. If you fight and you go to battle, then I'll accept your proposal and you can live in this area. If you do that, meaning if you go across and you fight, you can have this land. This has a lot of ramifications, I'll tell you in a second. And if you don't do this, you are going to sin in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So build the cities. So then, what did Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven respond to Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, you got it. We're going to do exactly what you said. Our children, our cattle will sit here in the Avra Yardin. Rabbi said, listen carefully. And what? Vavdecha and us, the Chayalim, Yavru Kol Chalut Tzava Lefnei Hashem L'Melchama Kasher Adoni Dover. And we're going to fight, because that's the deal. The deal is we're going to fight. Exactly like you just said, Moshe Rabbeinu. We're in. Everyone sign the document. We're good. We're ready to go. Then, I would expect the Torah to say, okay, and they went to the Muhammad, and the deal was signed, and they got the area, and Baruch Hashem, it all worked out. Pasuk Chav Ches, Rabbi said. The Pasuk goes on and says, Vayitzav lehem Moshe es Elozer HaKoyim ves Yeshua ben Nun ves Roshe Avos HaMatas of Nezro. Moshe Rabbeinu makes a whole commotion, a whole maimed. He calls over Yeshua, he calls over Elozer HaKoyim, he calls over the Roshe HaMatos. He gets this whole, you know, Moetzes G'doy Le'atoyro. Vayomer Moshe Aleihem. And he says to them, listen to this. It's as if, like, Moshe Rabbeinu is like a little senile over here. He's like repeating the same thing. Vayomer Moshe Aleihem. Im Yavru Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven Itchem Es Hayarden Kol Chalutz La'Milcham Lefnei Hashem V'nich B'Sha'aretz Lefneichen U'Nisatem Lahem Es Eretz HaGilad La'Chuzah. If they what? Im yavru bnei gadu bnei Reuven posuk choftes. Itchem that they're going to go with the rest of Klal Yisrael to fight kol chalutz l'melchama lifnei Hashem. V'nich b'shal haaretz. And the land is conquered. Unisatim lahem es eretz agilad l'achuzah. So then give them the land that they want in Eivra Yardin. V'im lo yavru chalutzim itchem. And if they're not going to go as chayalim, they're not going to fight with the rest of Am Yisrael itchem. V'noichzu b'soichem eretz kenan. Then they're not going to be able to. Then they're going to have to live in Eretz Yisrael, not in Eivra Yardin. The deal's not going to be, we're not going to complete the deal. We're not going to seal the deal. Moshe Rabbeinu, you just said this. This was the double language that I just read to you a few psukim ago. What in the world is going on, Rabbi Yisai? Moshe Rabbeinu, as if he just forgot what he just, Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven just said, exactly what you said, we'll sign off. Now Moshe Rabbeinu says, come, everyone come. He repeats the two tnoim, the two conditions that he just mentioned, and it's as if, like he didn't mention it before. What's pshat? A pel on the psukim. Rabbi Yisai, we don't have extra psukim. There must be a reason why Moshe Rabbeinu had to say all this again, and it's not clear why. The Malbim asks this kasha. He says, the Netziv has this kasha. No, what's pshat over here? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu feel the need to repeat the same exact condition that he said earlier? And then what happens? Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven respond, the next pasuk. Vayanu Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven lemor eis asher diber Hashem al avdecha kenaseh. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right. Kenaseh, what you just said, we're going to do. Of course you're going to do it. You just said it a second ago in the first conversation before the whole maimon. What do you have to agree again? You're really going to take this guy, Moshe Rabbeinu, seriously? He's repeating himself. We don't even know why he has to repeat it. And you're agreeing again? But he said, it's a pillow what's going on in these psukim. Nachnu navor chalutzim lefnei Hashem. We're going to go across. We're going to fight. Eretz Kanan v'yitonu achuzes nachlosenu me'ever la'eru. V'yitem lehem moish lefnei gadu bnei Reuven l'chatzi shem v'nashem ben Yosef v'zman lecha sichon melech ha'amor v'zman lecha zoi. So that's the end of the parsha. That's the end of the parsha. In a nutshell, without all the psukim, Rabbi Yisai, I want to understand what is all these extra psukim. It seems like things are very superfluous. It's not exactly clear why you have to repeat it. Now, there are many halachic ramifications to this parsha, to this din, that we just spoke about. The halacha is that if I want to make a kinyan, a means of acquisition, I want to marry a woman, right? And I want to do it conditionally, I want to say that, right, the Gemara has good examples, right? I'm only going to marry you if your father gives me $3 million. Right? Aysim b'chol yom. This is not for minas la'alacha, right? I'm only, whatever. The Gemara has all these different conditions. Whatever you're doing, whatever the transaction is, or you're selling a field, whatever. I'm only going to sell your field if it works out that I can find a house in Beit Shemesh that it works out and I can find a school to send my kids to. And then the sale goes through. That's the Gemara Kiddush and Adafnun. The Gemara discusses all these shilohs, practical shilohs that I didn't have das to do it if it wouldn't work out in Eretz Yisrael. Mamesik Eretz Yisrael, that's the Gemara's case. These are cases that could happen. So the Gemara says in the third parak of Kiddushin that if you're going to make a condition, it's got to follow what? The rules of Tanoim Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. There are a lot of rules. You got to look at the psukim carefully and you got to find out what the rules are. So the Gemara says, number one, what do you need? What's the first halacha anyone learn these sugyas? What do you need? What are we focused? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Tanai Kafel. If this, and if not, then not. I mean, you can't just make any assumptions. You gotta speak things out. You gotta make sure that both sides and both options were specified and were made clear. And you gotta say it's gotta be Tanai Kafel, or it's gotta be exactly like Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. It's gotta be what the Gemara in Kedushin says. Hein koydim lalav. You gotta say the positive side that if this and it works out. And if not, then it doesn't work out before the not side. The hain, the yes, has to be before the not, the lav. Okay? Or the Gemara says it's got to be a t'nai that's milsa de isa b'shlichus. It has to be something that you have the ability, it's a type of transaction that what? I can appoint a shliach for. Right? That I can. If you're involved in something that you can't appoint a shliach for, right? Then what? Then you can't make a t'nai. The parsha of Tanoim was only said in something that's milsa de isha b'shlichus. That's the Gemara says. The Gemara says that's one of the rules. What else is the Gemara? The Gemara has a bunch of rules.
Eden.
The Gemara says, no, Eden doesn't need, Eden don't need, you don't need Eden by the Tanai, depending on, you might need Eden if it's a Dover Shabbat Erev or certain areas, but Etzem, the Tanai, doesn't need necessarily Eden. The Gemara has a bunch of Tanai Koidim Lamaisa. The Gemara says, you say the Tanai before you talk about the actual action. A lot of different rules. You look in the third parak on, I think it's Samach Aleph, Samach Beis, there in the Gemaras and Rav Meir, Rav Chacham, there's a whole Machlekes there. All the Dinei and Tanaim, and that's the way we pass Kama Allah. Problem is, everybody say, anyone here learn, this is really a Shaila that the Rishonim bring up all over Shas. So I could really discuss many of them. Anyone here learn Kiddushin?
Yeah.
Yeah? First Parak? Who said yeah? First Parak?
A little bit,
yeah. So you get up to the Gemara about Matana and Asla Achzir? What's my talking about here? What is that?
You give somebody a
present
on the condition that they'll give it back.
They give it back.
Yeah, good. Good, excellent. Excellent. That's the key, the giving it back. That's the key. That's what you need. So now, what does the Gemara talk about? The Gemara talks about in Bava Vasra, the Gemara talks about what happens if you give an esrog matana manas lahachzir, right? You give anything matana manas lahachzir, right? So if you give it back, shema matana, the Gemara discusses by kiddin aben, right? That's what the Gemara is talking about in the kiddush. So Taisus there raises a shaila. Taisus there, and this Taisus is not only in Kiddushin, it's later on in Kiddushin on Daf Nun, it's in Bava Vasra, it's in Sukkah. Taisus says, the Gemara there says that you gave an esrog there, and what's missing in the Gemara? You just said, by the way, give it back to me. Rabbi say, what's missing? Where's the Tanai Kofel? The Gemara says nothing about the whole. If there's this, if you give it back, then you're Yoytze. If you don't give it back, then you're not Yoytze. And the Hengel, no halachas of Ilchus Tanoim. Frek Toysis Akasha, this is a Shas Toysis, Rabbi say. No matter where you're learning a child, you're gonna bump into this place. I promise you, you'll bump into this place. Mirtz Hashem, if you stay learning, you stay connected to the Chatzis Shev Menashe of your lives, of your NCS Waikolos, Mirtz Hashem, you're gonna bump into this place, Rabbi say. So Frek Toysis Akasha, where's the Tanai Kofel? What happened to all that Tanai Bnei Go to Bnei Reuven talk? Suddenly you just have a matana manas lahachzir, this is a tanai. You gotta make a tanai, you gotta make a condition, and there's no tanai kofel. So you know what Taisus says? You're right. You don't always need tanai kofel. Says Taisus, and Taisus says like this in Bava Basra also, when it's so clear, and it's an umdina demuchach, says Taisus. We know what's going on in the mind of this individual, then you don't need hilchus tanai. Tanai Kofel, what comes out is that the halachos of Tanai B'nai Gor B'nai Reuven, the halachos of Tanai Kofel and all the halachos of Tanayim are only in situations where what? It's not entirely clear what the das of this person involved in the transaction is. So therefore, because we weren't sure, the situation doesn't allow us to know for sure what he had in mind, so therefore we require, if he's going to make a condition, that what, he better spell it all out. But if you have a way of knowing that it's obvious that he's doing it with full-fledged das, because he wants to get his esrog back, or because he wants to give a Yerusha, he only gave a Yerusha to his son because he thought he died, whatever it is, he gave him Atana, whatever it is, he thought that this was the circumstances. So if you have a way of getting to his das without him speaking it out, so then you don't need the halachas of Tanoim. That's the way Taisus resolves this issue, this kasha that the Rishonim have, that certain sugyas in Shas seem to have the concept of a Tanai, of a condition, but it doesn't speak out all the halachas of Bnei Gor and Bnei Reuven of the parsha that we just read in Parshas Machlokes. For Rabbi say that's the shita of Taisus. There are a few other shitas in Rishon. How to resolve this issue of when you need the halachas of Tanai Bnei Gor and Bnei Reuven and when you don't need the halachas of Tanai Bnei Gor and Bnei Reuven. The Rambam in Hilchos Ishus in Perek Vav quotes the shita of the Gaonim. Listen carefully. This is the sheet of the Gaonim he quotes, but it happens to be the Rai that agrees to this Gaonim. Listen to this. Perek Vav, in Hilchos Ishus Halacha Yudal, listen to what the Rai would say, what the Gaonim say. Yesh miktas Gaonim. Usually when the Rambam does that, he's about to slam them. Yesh miktas Gaonim, achroinim, sha'omru, she'ein odom tzorech lichvol tno, ela begitten v'kidushin dolvad, aval bedine momin, ein od tzorech lichvol. What did the Gaonim say? Totally different chiluk. It's not whether or not it's clear, like Taisus says, or it's not clear. It's not based on the circumstances, and Bnei Gor Bnei Reuven is only necessary where what? where we don't know what's in your das, and if there's a way to get to your das without you speaking it out based on the circumstances, then you don't need the halachas of tonight. What do the Goyim say? You know what the Goyim saying? What's yeah. the yeah?
No, I'm saying the question like, what does that have to do with the psukim? Psukim, we're talking about like getting kedushin. Psukim, we're talking more about like getting
money. Excellent. Teresa Bolovsky said a beautiful kash. So let me first explain the Goyim, and then let me explain his kash. So the Goyim say, no, you know when you need to not be Gadar Bnei Reuven? That's when it's what? When it's Gittin and Kiddush. But when do you not need Tanai Begadu Bnei Reuven? When it's what? Dinei Mom. Dinei Mom. So Frek Avram Zev. Right? What does that mean? Again, what's the distinction? The distinction is Dinei Mominus versus not just Gittin and Kiddushin versus what I would call Isser v'heter, mutter or aser. There's certain chayshim mishkat shilas, certain shilas for dayonim, and certain shilas for poiskim, isser v'heter, for the kitchen, for Shabbos shilas for rabbanim. Those are different areas of Shulchan Aruch. One's yoredeya, one's orachayim, and one's chayshim mishpat. So the Ravid says, when do you need the halachas of bnei gadar bnei reuven the hilchos tanayim? That's an isser v'heter. Like getting the kiddushin, you're marrying a woman, and you want to know to make sure that the condition is going to be that it's going to be on based on a condition. So then what? Then you need the halachas of tanaim. But dinei mominus, then you don't need. Then we're mekel. So frekt avram zev. What does that mean? Tanaim begadu bnei reuven was what? Was what? Rabbi said, what's his kasha? Was dinei mominus? It was a bunch of assets. It was a deal. It was an investment. Apparently, Teretz to Avram Zev's kasha is. Kasha is a gevaldige kasha. I would even say the kasha. Oh. The Ravid and the Goyim must have held that that's not the case. Tanai Bnei Gadar Bnei Reuven were what? Were giving Kedusha to this land. This was an issue of Isser V'Heter. It was an Inyan of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It was an Isser V'Heter Dikei Halacha. Memela, that's why you could still have a shita that holds Tanai Begadu Bnei Reuven applies to it, and it's not considered Dinei Mominus. It might be that there's an outgrowth. You might become very rich by the fact that you were involved in this Isser V'Heter. You also might become very rich by what? Marrying this girl. You know what I'm saying? There might be Dinei Mominus that come as an outgrowth of this Isser V'Heter Dikashayla. But we want to know, be Soyde Shaldover. Fundamentally, what was the nature of this issue in Parshas Matas? The Goyim apparently held what? That it was an Isser V'Heter Dika Halacha, and therefore the Tanai Begadu Bnei Reuven would apply. I would say that the Rambam didn't accept this, as the Rambam is about to say that it makes no sense. That the Rambam L'chayra looked at the Parsha that we just read as Dinei Mominus. So how does the Rambam answer this kasha? How does the Rambam answer this kasha? So, Rabbi, so the Rambam, yeah.
Just to back up for a second, why wouldn't this whole story fall under Yerusha? And is Yerusha
Mamonis? Who's Yerusha? It's Yerusha Saharis, but no, they're not inheriting from anyone that died.
Okay, so most. Not
and by the way, you should know. That's first. That's number one. This wasn't a classic Yerusha. But by the way, is Yerusha classic Dinei Mominus? That's also an interesting question. But this was not classic Yerusha. They were now inhabiting the land from no deceased parents.
But Moshe was granting them land.
But it wasn't something that they, right, so therefore I would look to just conquer it. It's a conquest, and it's a financial transaction. Just like if we would move in and we would conquer something else, so that would be Yerusha. That would be a conquest.
But it's a financial transaction.
I would have called it a financial transaction. So yeah. So that's Avram Zev's kasha. That was Avram Zev's kasha. This seems to be all Dinei Mominus. Apparently, since there was an element of it becoming part of Eretz Yisrael, he thought that it overrides that there is a lot of Dinei Mominus connected to this, and we look at this as Isser V'Heter. Right. That's why I said the pashtus. I would say the Rambam understands this as financial. Therefore, that's not the chiluk. Give me one second. Comes along the Rambam. And he says, there's a different distinction. going through the Rambam. The Rambam says there's a different distinction of when you need Gadim and Reuven, when you need halachas of Tanaim, when you need a Tanai Kafal, when you need all the laws, and when you don't need the laws. What's the difference? Comes along the Rambam and says, you go through the Gemaras carefully, you'll see throughout Shas there's two types of Tanaim. There's two types of conditions. There's a condition that's used with, anyone know what the two types of condition is? There's two words you can use in the Gemara to say it tonight. What are the two types of words that you could use to say it tonight? Yeah?
Almanas.
Im, if, almanas. Or almanas. Which is also on condition. So if you would ask me, if I would say, I will give you this, if, im, aleph, mem, if, or if I use the words almanas, I would have said, from an American standpoint, I would have said, what's the difference? You're making a condition, and you're just using different synonyms. You're using different legal terms, but they all mean the same thing. Says the Rambam, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that there's a lot of significance based on your terminology when you institute the condition that you make. Says the Rambam, when you say almanas, kola omer almanas ke omer me'achshavon. When a person makes a condition, and he says it should be almanas that such and such happens, then that transaction takes effect when? Kola omer almanas ko omer me'ashav. The transaction is chal, the chalois is there, yet what? We just have to fulfill the condition. But when did the kinyan take effect? When did the halachic transfer happen? It happened when? Right away. Me'ashav. Whereas when what? A person says to a woman, Hareya mikudeshes li, im yerdu gshomim la'achar lamed yom, if there's going to be rain after 30 days, then when does the kiddushin take effect? When does the transaction happen? La'achar lamed. Afterwards. Afterwards. That's the Rambam says. Says the Rambam, when do you need the halachas of Tanoim? When do you need all the spiel of Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, of Tanai Kafal, of Henkoy, of all those different dinim that we said from the third paragraph of Kedusha? When do you need all of that list? That when it's what?
In.
When it's in. When do you not need it, says the Rambam? Not like Tosis, not like the Ravid. But rather it's what? When you say, Almanas. What's the rationale, Rabbi Issa? Just explain to me the Rambam. Why should that be? What? What's the reason? Give me a rationale. Give me a svara, Rabbi Yisrael. Give me a svara. Let's go. Chaver, summer's ending. Let's go. Come on. Yeah.
If the chalos is right away, then there's no need for all this.
Oh, gevaldik! Zok the tshuvas harosh. This tnai thing is incredible. I understand something. I'm right now. I'm doing a means of transaction. I'm selling you this hat, and now suddenly I'm saying, break, stop, hold, pause, stop the cameras. This is not taking effect till when? 30 days from now. Says the Rosh, that's a massive chiddush. We just did a transaction. We did all the alek kinyanim, all the six kinyanim from Mechiras Chometz with the goy. We did everything that's necessary. And what? Suddenly we just have a halachic mechanism to press what? Stop! How did you just stop that? Says the Rosh, that's the chiddush of Parshas Matos. That's the chiddush of Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven. That's a chiddush, says the Rosh, a chiddush that we can stop the chalos. But what? But if it's almanas, like you said beautifully, what's your name?
Kiva.
Akiva said beautifully, that what? Kol omer almanas, kol omer me'achshav dami. It's not such a chiddush. The transaction took effect. We never pressed pause. We never stopped it. So memela, on that the Rambam says, you don't need all of the chidushin of the Parsha of Parshas Matos, of Tanai Kafal, of Hein Kodem Olam, of all the different rules and regulations of Tanai Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. Why? Because I'm just doing basically a regular transaction. Eh, we added a little bit of a stipulation. Fine. So that was my Smichas Das. But we're not holding anything. We're not pausing anything. We're not stopping anything. So Mamela, it's not the Chiddush of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. So I don't need that Parsha. I don't need to follow it by the rule book of all the halachas, of all the halachas, of the delineation of the details of what? Of Tanai Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. Everyone with me, Rabbi Yisai? Listen to me. Listen to this, Rabbi Yisai. Listen to this. I think that the pshat in the parsha of the Torah goes as follows. There's a raya to Shitas HaRambam in the Torah itself. Again, the Rambam is trying to answer the kasha, the Rishonim. How do we deal with all the stiras? When do you need halachas of Tanoim? When do you not need halachas of Tanoim? Zok the Rambam, it has nothing to do with Isser V'Heter, with Gittin Mekadushin versus Mammon. Like Avram Zev said, that's Shver. Yerusha Zaharis, that's Dine Mammon, like you said, Avada. Tosis had a chiddush that it's all a technicality. It's just practical to know what your smichas das is. Zok the Rambam, that's not the halacha. They go to Bnei Reuven, even in Dine Mammon, even when your smichas das is there, it's a chiddush. But when is it a chiddush? It's only a chiddush when, Rabbi Isai? It's only a chiddush when it's what? When it's in, when you're delaying. But if it's chal already, then it's not such a chiddush. Moir Rabbi Isai. Nira lefi anias daiti. The reason there's a repetition in the Torah, even though Moshe Rabbeinu already spoke to Bnei God, Bnei Reuven, and he set out the Tanai Kofel already earlier in the Psukim, he already was going with the halachas of Tanai, and Bnei God, Bnei Reuven said, you got it. We're going to sign on to the deal. Look at the Psukim. We're going to sign on to the deal. Under Necholetz. But they said something else. They stooped in before they said, we're going to fight. What they say? They said, but our kids and our cattle will already be living where? In Avrei Yarde. Means what? They're going to be already hanging out, playing ball. They're already going to be in their clubhouses or wherever they're hacking or they're schmoozing, whatever. They're going to be living comfortably. They're going to be pumping all the air conditioning that in their nice apartments in Yerushalayim. Yeah, they're going to be living it up with their get taxis and their coffee from Mitzpri. They're going to be living off the diet. I had that as a geschmack today. Right? They're going to be living it up. And what? And we're going to accept your condition, Moshe. And we're going to go where? We're going to fight. That's the first Tanai Kofel that's presented in the Torah. What happens, Rabbi Isai? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Elozer! Yoshua! Come here! Like a senile old man repeats everything again. Chalila, he was senile. Moshe Rabbeinu knew exactly what he was doing. He said, you think you chapped it? Let me tell you what you just did. It's very simple for you to say that we're going to fight in the battlefield when we know every night that we're fighting, that our kids are comfortable, that we already have property, that we're already safe. We have our communities. We have a backup plan. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't need your almanas shtick. I need your im. Zoch de Torah. Im! Techolzu. Aleph Mem! Zoch de Rambam! Im! That's where the Tanai Kofel is necessary. The Rambam saw it in the parsha itself. That's the Teretz to Tosis Kasha. In the Psukim. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu go weiter again and repeat everything? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said to fight in the Jewish army, to be part of Klal Yisrael, to give of yourself. It's not enough just to be a mensch. See, Rabbi say, we often confuse. We think it's a time right now. We try to be mechazik in our bin avon l'chaviro. So you have to be erlich. You have to be polite. You have to be menschlich. That's not what the Bein Adam L'Chaviru is. That's not what Churban HaMikdash is. Avadi, you have to be menschlich. Don't think I'm not saying you have to be menschlich. But Rabbi say that's not going to build the Bayis Shlisha that came off of the Churban of Bayis Sheni. It's about being one with another Yid. It's about, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says what? Noisei Ba'olim Chaviru. It's about understanding a tsar of another person. It's about, like Reb Chaim, when a person was Nebuch, when there was a fire in his community and the people went out to war when Klal Yisrael were suffering, he would not sleep on his bed. It's just not shayach. Because that's my tzara. That's my issue. It's not like I feel Nebuch. Ugh. So I can say a few times, ugh, I feel bad. I feel bad. That's not what Noisiv Olam Chaviru is. It's im. I am not getting any property. My kids are not going to be safe. They're not going to have parks to live in and to play around until what? I do what I have to do for the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's going to rebuild Bayis Shlishi. That's going to fix a churban of Bayis Sheni. Maral Es Akasha says, I don't understand. What's the chiluk of Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni? Why is it that one was Chomer Averis and one was because of Achdus? How do we understand all these agaritas and all these different reasons? Says the Maral, it's very simple. Bayis Rishon was b'schus the Ovis. We were at the outset of Am Yisrael, and the Gemara in Yuma tells us the Bayis Rishon did not look like the Bayis Sheni. Does anyone know what the difference between the Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni was?
No.
Well, the Gemara says something more fundamental. The Aron was a symptom of that, but what was it? There was no Hashras HaShchina. Beautiful. There was no Hashras HaShchina. You're right, all those things are true. But there was no Hashras HaShchina in Bayis Sheni. So what was Bayis Sheni? Why do we get Bayis Sheni? How did it come about, says the Maharal, in Netzach Yisrael, in the Inyanim of Churban? Maharal says the whole existence of Bayis Sheni, which, by the way, most Gedolim hold the Iker Churban of Tisha B'Av is because of Bayis Sheni, not because of Bayis Rishon. Is the Halacha like that? You understand? Eibshitz writes like that. Sheikh Zarya writes like that. Rabbi Yisrael, how did we get the Bayis Sheni? Not b'schus v'yavos. Not b'schus hashros hashchina. It didn't come from top down. It says the Maharal came from bottom up. There was a sense of achdus. There was a connection of Am Yisrael that we grouped together and we were able to what? Break down walls. We were able to create new phenomena. Things that weren't necessarily in the original blueprints of the history of the world. I don't want to get into it now, Rabbi said. There's a Meira Dikar of Yaakov Kamenetsky that writes that Bayis Sheni, I didn't say it, he said it, Bayis Sheni wasn't originally supposed to happen. We'll talk about it another time. He has Kama V'Kama Rayis that he proves that Bayis Sheni was not in the original blueprints of the world. It wasn't supposed to happen. So why did it happen? What happened? Says the Maharal, it all happened because of us. Because we got together and we said, you know what? We're going to create this chain and no one's going to break through us. You know, like when you play Red Rover or whatever, you know, you try to break through us. Like, that's what Bayis Sheni was. We were unstoppable. But not necessarily because of what? The schuyus of the Ovis, because of the Gevaldika, Heilige Heights that we got to because of our Avodas Hashem, Beinot Mokom, but rather was what? It was because of the connection between one and the other. So Mamela says the Maharal, it's posh to understand the two Chorbanos. The first churban, the whole binyan was what? Bischus, the helikite. Memela, the averus stopped it. And the osvosim is teresi, alma of the arts, the gemara nedarim, they didn't have the shmir satir anymore, so they weren't on that height anymore. But what? Bayesheni wasn't built through that. So Memela, what was the, it was mida keneged mida, it was the sinas chinam, that Memela just broke down the whole foundation of the bayis. Because that was the only reason that Bayis was created there in the first place. And that was the reason why the Shmiras HaTorah, they were Gevaldig Alamdonim then. But that's not going to help you. That'll help you in Bayis Rishon. Then there'll be a Kasha of Alma of the Haaretz. But in the Bayis Sheni, even if you learn Torah, it's not going to help you. Because the whole Yisoid, the foundation of the Bayis, is what? Is through the connection of one to the other. Where does that all stem from? How do you create a real sense of achdus? Parshas Bnei God, Bnei Reuven. The parshas that are always read. Matas, Maseh, Dvarim, Chatzis Sheva, Menashe. When are those parshas read? Always when? Churban HaBayis, Bein HaMetzara. Not just to care for someone, but to be involved in his sorrow. To not be able to go weiter in your life, to live on. To have that same luxury if you know that he's really suffering. To be there for him. It's my tzara. We're one. That's the yisoid. That's what's going to build the bias. That's what the Rambam is telling us. We have to have empathy, but more than empathy. We have to mamish be margish. And that's got to be our approach to Tisha B'Av. Sometimes we don't realize
It's very hard for us to relate. But we mamish are suffering from the churban. Ad hayom hazeh. Not just because we're not nice to each other. Even with that. Because we're not connected. There are people in all of our communities that have their personal churbanos. And there's more that we can do. And there's even if it's not what we can do, because sometimes it's difficult, but there's more that we can daven. We can daven as if it's my matzah. As if this is a situation of what? Of a tnai b'toras im. I am not going to leave here until I express this tefillah or this bakosha ad kedei kach, as if it was a matzah that existed in my life. It's my kid. It's my father. It's my wife. That's what a connection. That's going to rebuild the foundation of a bayisheni, of a chibur, of a yesoid. That can break barriers that the Rabbanu Shalom can look like and says, one second, the Malachim turned to him and say, there was no bias shame that you told us about. Where's this coming from? The Rabbanu Shalom says, come here, let me show you something. Look down there. Look at that chain. Look at that connection. Look at that Tnai B'Toras Im. Look at that Parshas Matos. Just like Parshas Matos has the ability to expand the barriers of Eretz Yisrael and create a new phenomenon called what? Eivor HaYarden? That was not supposed to exist. That's a big shiloh, whether or not we can even bring Bikurim, we can even bring the Korban Oimer, but they created this. But how, says Moshe Rabbeinu, there's only one way you can create that. How can you rewrite history in Yiddishkeit? It's through the Tanai B'Toras Im. It's being connected and living for the other individual. Mirtz Hashem, we should all be Zoicha. To create that chibur. Create a chibur between all of our chaverim here, Rabbi Isai. And I'm telling you honestly, the best summers of my life were in this Makom Torah. The schuyos that the menalim get and the people that arrange for this koilo to exist, I'm mekana their schar. I'm mamish jealous of them. Mamish, what they create, and they create an anchor. Like we spoke about at the beginning of this year, a chatzi shevet amnash. For the rest of your life, you have to stay connected. Because the biggest issue is, Rabbi Isai, is the next few months. I know how it goes. It's hard. It's hard to keep the fire alive. But if you create a chibur right now, if you guys now, when you go back to the dorm tonight, instead of hawking about leagues today, take a little time. Right? There's no fleishiks, there's no canteen anyways, right? What are they selling these days? Right? What's what? A pretend schnitzel? Like, what are they going to sell? With the corn inside that I just ate? Chevra, talk about how are we going to be together? How are we going to stick together? How are we going to be there for each other when the other guy falls? And that will keep this fire alive throughout the year. Create that menashe, that matzav that you have over here, Rabbi Isai, but bring it in to America. Bring it in, create Shabbatons, create get-together, create reunions. You guys can figure out how to do this. You guys are all creative. Do it. Set it up. Set up chaburas, set up connections, set up chavrusas, set up shiurim, set up reunions, set up whatever you got. Set up the chibur that will now keep this alive, Rabbi Isai, and will help you, and you will be different guys when you come to Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't matter where you go. I don't care where you go. If you go there with this, Rabbi Isai, you're going to be light years ahead of everyone else. You guys have all of a bracha, and you should all be makir tov and thank your parents for enabling you to come here. Because this, more than anything, will change your lives. I don't need anyone's haskam. It's posh what I'm saying. I'm not even saying a chiddush. A person who now create in a matzav of high school, in a difficult situation, and create a chibur, create a connection to thrive, to keep the fire going, to keep the flames up, you guys will be able to break any challenge. You'll be able to break through, you'll be able to survive. Mirtzah Hashem, Rabbi Isai, you should enjoy the rest of the summer. You should come back next summer. I don't know if this is 11th grade, guys, or mix. So anyone who's shy for sure come back. And as I came back, I remember it was better and better each summer. But it's really Baruch Hashem. It was a schus to learn with you guys. And you should all be matzliach. And Mirtz Hashem, we should all be at the Kotel when the Chatzais happens on Tisha B'Av, as the Prima Gadim says, that Mashiach is going to be born at Chatzais. I'm going to be at the Binyan, Bayis Shlishi. We're already here, we got front row seats. It's Hashem. Shkaya from Isa. Is yours?
What's the challenge?